This is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. On today's program, we're going to talk about how we can pray to a living God who actually exists, the infinite personal living God of the universe. And this infinite personal living God of the universe is not some kind of fairy tale or mythology or fable. This is an account in the Bible of a real living God. And what makes him real and living, as opposed to mythological or an illusion, what makes this God of the Bible real is the fact that he has proven his existence over and over again throughout human history in numerous ways that have been recorded in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. So, for example, when the children of Israel miraculously crossed the Red Sea, and the Red Sea split, and that allowed the children of Israel to cross over into their promised land. And Pharaoh and his armies were pursuing them, and Pharaoh and his armies were closing in on them, and the Red Sea, when Moses stood up, held up his staff, and the Red Sea split, allowing the children of Israel to cross on land. And then as the Pharaoh and his chariots and his armies followed the children of Israel, both sides of where the Red Sea had split apart, the waves of giant water collapsed on the Pharaoh and his chariots and drowned them. Now, you could stop right then and there and say, fairy tale, myth, fable, and you would be wrong. Why? Because apart from your opinion or my opinion or anyone's opinion, there exists archaeological evidence. There exists the remains of the Pharaoh's chariot wheels, etc. It has been found in that geographic location where the Red Sea was located at the time that that, quote, narrative was created, but this narrative is not mythological, it's real. So real archaeologists, real scuba divers, real physical, tangible evidence, physical evidence proves that this story of the Red Sea parting and then drowning Pharaoh and his chariots is proven by physical evidence. Now, that's just one little piece of physical evidence. And we could talk for hours and hours, which we're not going to, but we could talk for hours and hours about all the physical evidence there is to prove that the biblical God exists. So, for example, we could talk about creation in the book of Genesis. We could talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And that was not a mythological fairy tale fable resurrection. It was a real space-time resurrection. It really happened. How do we know? Once again, the same way a courtroom, when a courtroom goes through a trial, especially in a serious case, there has to be evidence to prove what someone says is true really did happen. There has to be physical or tangible evidence of some kind. So with the account of Christ resurrecting from the dead, that's not a mythology, because there were highly trained Roman soldiers all around the tomb where Jesus was placed, and they had blocked the tomb with a giant stone that covered the doorway. And this highly trained Roman soldiers were keeping watch. Now, then, mysteriously, when they opened when they went in to look for Jesus' body in the tomb, they saw that his body was missing. It was gone. And that provided the physical evidence for the literal resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, it was proven that he was dead beyond a shadow of a doubt. And not only was his body missing from the tomb, and it couldn't have been stolen because it was guarded by such a tremendous amount of military force, the Roman soldiers, it couldn't have been stolen. And so then, after Christ's body is missing from tomb, Jesus Christ continues to make appearances to his disciples. And this is proof of the actual physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. On top of it, there are prophecies in the Bible that occurred many, many years before Jesus Christ was born, sometimes thousands of years before Jesus Christ was born. There are prophecies in the Old Testament, long before Jesus Christ was born, that predicted not only a, quote, virgin birth of Jesus Christ, but they predicted that Jesus Christ was coming and that Jesus Christ would resurrect from the dead. And this was a long time before Christ was born. I mean, this is just a few particles of proof of the actual physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then you continue on, for example, and something we haven't seen completely fulfilled yet would be the actual return of Jesus Christ, the actual return of Jesus Christ that was predicted throughout the Bible. It was predicted by the angels who were there when Christ ascended into heaven. And these angels told the disciples as Christ was ascending into heaven that this same Jesus that you will see ascending into heaven will return in a likewise manner, which simply means that the same Jesus Christ that you see supernaturally ascending into the heavens right before your very eyes, he's going to return from heaven in all his glory at an appointed time. So these are unexplainable miracles that have happened in the Bible, but they're not just miracles. They're miracles that have a consistent record of physical evidence that is overwhelming. And this physical evidence before a jury, a judge, in a trial situation would prove that Christ and the other miracles in the Bible were not mythological. They weren't lies. They weren't made up stories or fables or fairy tales. They were actual, real, physical events that happened in real space-time history. Now, I know I covered a lot of territory with just a few casual remarks, but that's just an indication of the overwhelming proof that the Bible supplies for the miraculous evidence of the God of the Bible's existence and the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's not just because somebody like me says Jesus Christ is Lord, or some of you say that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord apart from whatever you say or I say. Jesus Christ doesn't need, and God doesn't need, our belief in order for him to exist. We don't conjure up Jesus Christ's existence or God's existence by whether we believe or not. Yes, it's important that we believe because that's the only way we can receive salvation by faith. But God's existence, God's deity, the fact that the Creator exists, capital C, has nothing to do with whether or not a man or a woman or a society chooses to believe or not believe in him. I mean, that notion is laughable. God does not need anyone's belief. God does not need man's consent to exist. And so when we look at the great battle, the great spiritual battle throughout the ages, and that's why I called my recent book The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, which is the time period that we're in and that we're approaching. What is this great battle? This great battle is a battle between the light, which is the truth, which is God, the light versus the darkness, which is falsehood, deception, and lies, that there is no God. See, when you boil it all down, the ultimate battle is between God and Lucifer and the powers of darkness. And our society has become so sophisticated in its own eyes. It's not sophisticated in the eyes of history. It's not sophisticated in the eyes of God. It is sophisticated in its own eyes. So what do I mean by that? Well, how many of you have met somebody who is madly in love with themselves? I'm sure you've met in your lifetime many people who are madly in love with themselves or are delusionally, they are in a delusion about their own intelligence or giftedness or whatever. And you would agree that being in that delusionary state of mind where you're madly in love with yourself, it's kind of pathetic, isn't it? I mean, whether people say it vocally to that person or not, it's ridiculous. And everybody knows, it's kind of like the fable of the emperor has no clothes. Everyone knows that these people who are madly in love with themselves are delusionary. The only person who doesn't seem to know it is the individual who has fallen in love with themselves madly. And now that I think about it, the term madly in love has a special irony when we're talking about this subject, because madly in love implies you're irrational, you're partially insane, you're a little bit wacko if you're in love with yourself to such an incredible degree. So it's a form of insanity. Be madly in love with yourself is a form of insanity. Yet, societies and individuals can be so madly in love with themselves that they actually think in their delusion, they actually believe a greater myth, a greater fairy tale, and a greater mythology. They give themselves over to a delusion, what the Bible calls the great delusion. Or an apostasy, great falling away from the truth. People give themselves over to that madness in the same way that you look at an individual who is madly in love with themselves, despite evidence to the contrary. Now, think about this for a moment. You can have a society or an individual who is so madly in love with themselves that they actually, here's one of the evidences of that, they're so madly in love with themselves that they come to the place where they actually begin to believe that they themselves are God. Now that would be an extreme form of madness, but millions and millions of people on planet Earth, and some of them who are among the most educated, so-called educated, they actually believe that they are God or gods. I think about that. They're not gods. They can't even stop their own death. They can't do anything that is truly on the level of the power of God, such as resurrecting from the dead or commanding the Red Sea to part or whatever. Yet, in their delusion or their madness, they continue to believe that they are God. I mean, that's really losing a grip, don't you think? And so that is part of the great spiritual battle that's going on planet Earth right now. It's a battle between love and hate. It's a battle between evil and good. It shows up in many different ways. And so the responsibility of anybody who claims to believe in God is to be a vessel of the love of God, because God is love. And if you're going to properly represent God, you have to start with his major characteristic. God is love. So if we're going to represent God, the primary thing we have to do is express the love of God to each other and to our fellow man and woman. We have to express the love of God in tangible ways to others, because that's a tangible way of proving that what you claim to be true is true. Jesus Christ told his disciples, simply his followers, Jesus Christ told his disciples in 1 John that by this will all men and women know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So if the church, which is simply a group of people that claim to believe in Jesus Christ and God, if the church is not loving one another, and if they're not loving others as themselves, they lose their ability to prove the reality of God's existence before the eyes of questioning people. And what else is needed is the church or individual believers have to speak the truth in love. Not just speak the truth, but speak the truth in love. And that's a difficult challenge. So, the most important thing that anybody can do, claims to believe in God who is love, is to attempt to, by faith and action, represent this God of love by being representatives or ambassadors of this love. So we're to love one another as Christ loved the church, and we're to love our neighbors as ourselves, and then we're to actually love our enemies as ourselves. That's a heavy challenge, obviously, and it's a challenge that can only be adhered to by relying on the supernatural power of God's Holy Spirit, which is, by the way, the Spirit of truth. Now, there are things that God has created in our physical world which testify of his reality. Let me give you a common example of the reality of God. Notice how every day of your life, the sun goes down, and then in the morning, the sun comes up. And you can count on it, because no matter what you do or don't do, that sun is going to rise, and then at a specified time, that sun is going to set. And the cycle is approximately a 24-hour cycle with sunrises and sunsets. And what happens when the sun sets? You see the light diminish and the darkness appears. Now, the only thing that would interrupt our world from going into total darkness is the fact that God has scattered the heavens with zillions of stars. So we see those tiny bursts of light up in the sky at night. And that allows for a certain amount of illumination to occur. Also, depending upon where we are in terms of a rotational cycle, we'll see either a full moon or half moon or segments of the moon. Most times, we'll be shining light, except in a lunar eclipse, etc. So that happens. And the reason that happens is for natural reasons God has created. But it's also, God is talking to us through things like the sun, the moon, darkness, light. God is communicating to us, to every man and woman, a very simple truth. What God is communicating, and this should be a no-brainer, God is communicating the fact that there is such thing as light, and there is such thing as darkness. There's darkness and light, and you can compare and contrast the two. And you've got overwhelming scientific evidence to prove that there is darkness and light. And God's Word talks about it. In fact, the Word of God talks about it at the very beginning. At the very beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, we learn this from God, and I'm going to read it to you. It's in Genesis chapter 1, and in Genesis chapter 1, let's start with verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and the darkness was on the face of the deep. The Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Now notice this. At the very beginning, the darkness was on the face of the deep. Well, that means on the face of the ocean, the waters. Darkness was on the face of the deep and hovering over the face of the waters. So everything was dark. The land, the waters, it was all dark. Okay? And then it says, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now that's enormously powerful. The whole world at one time is completely dark. All there is darkness. And then God says, let there be light. And instantly it says, there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Now this is that the simplicity and the power of that statement is so awesome and so filled with majesty and wonder. There is no scientific evidence, no sociological truth, no man-made set of ideas, no so-called scientific principles, nothing. Nothing exists in all heaven and earth that can diminish the authority and power of God's Word when God's Word tells us that in the beginning, there was total darkness, okay? And then God said, "There, let there be light," and there was light. I mean, just wham, there was light. And then God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, God is speaking to mankind through his word in such a simple fashion that any child can understand it. God is saying, look, there's light and there's darkness. There's light and darkness in the physical world, which means the heavens and the earth. So at one point, the entire planet Earth was covered in darkness. And then instantaneously, when God said, let there be light, there was light. And that marked the first day or 24-hour cycle of light and then darkness. Now, God was also speaking to us about the fact that in addition to the fact that there is physical light and darkness, there is spiritual light and spiritual darkness. Just like there is physical light and physical darkness, there's spiritual light and spiritual darkness. Whenever you're communicating the truth, you're speaking from the light. Whenever you're speaking truth, you're communicating the light. You're shining the light. Whenever you hide the truth or block the truth or erase the truth by any number of mechanisms, hear what I'm saying carefully. Whenever you hide the truth through whatever mechanism you're using to hide the truth, you're hiding the light. You're blocking the light from shining. And when you block the light from shining, the light is not allowed to spread. Darkness takes over the planet. And it's all based on this very simple principle that even a little child can understand. And that is, there's both light and darkness. Light and darkness not only in the physical realm, but light and darkness in the spiritual realm. And what is light? Well, the Bible tells us what light is. Light is love. God is love. God is not only the light, the ultimate light, but God is also love. Love and light. And truth is light. Love is light, and truth is light. So it's very, very important. You know, you've heard this expression, let your light shine. People in every societal group, every group in society have an expression that either says directly, let your light shine, or they say it with different words, but it means the same thing. Let your light shine. And the idea behind telling people to let your light shine is to let the truth shine. Let love shine. And don't do anything to obstruct or hide or bury or conceal or block the light or love or truth. I mean, it's really simple. And so, the purpose of Paradise Mountain Church and Paul McGuire Ministries, that the ultimate purpose of above everything, our core truth, is to let the light shine. Let the light of love shine. Let the light truth shine. And I'm talking about right now spiritual light. Let it shine. Communicate it. Why? Because if you don't let the light shine, the darkness takes over. And so it's very simple. Every one of us as human beings have to ask ourselves the question, are we people who are letting our light shine? Are we people that are helping to spread the light, communicate the light? And then you have to be honest with yourself. You have to say, am I partnering with the lie, with the darkness spiritually, with deception? And it's very simple how you detect that. I mean, you don't have to be Albert Einstein. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out whether you're letting the light shine or you're spreading the power of darkness. It's what you do with your actions. Your actions, it begins in your heart and your mind, and it outworks to your actions. Your actions reveal whether you have chosen to be part of the light or part of the darkness. It has nothing to do with secondary groupings. It all has to do with you're either spreading the light or you're blocking and concealing the light, which means you're spreading the darkness. That's why when evil spreads, and evil, by the way, is a function of darkness. When evil spreads, it spreads because darkness is allowed to spread. And how does darkness spread? By restricting the light. By restricting the light, you attempt to promote the darkness. You may not realize that's what you're doing, but that's what you're doing. And that's what's happening. And you need to look at it from the broad spectrum of things. You need to see our reality that we're in from the broad spectrum of things. And you can't see reality when you're walking around in the dark. I mean, again, this is a childlike truth, and God communicated it in a childlike manner so everybody could easily understand it. And it's so simple. You can't see your world, you can't see reality if you're walking in the darkness. Believe me, I know. If I'm running in the darkness in my house, which I don't usually run in my house in the darkness, but I do walk in the darkness occasionally. And if somebody leaves something out on the floor and it's dark and I can't see what's on the floor and my foot hits it, it's painful. Painful. Now, how could have I avoided that? I could have avoided that by simply turning on the light. You know how many accidents happen in people's households or where they live? How many accidents occur because people just don't turn on the lights and they're in a hurry to do something in the dark? Run to the bathroom, I don't know. Get a glass of water. Who knows? The point is, they're moving around in the dark, and then there's an accident. They get hurt. Why? Because they can't see where they're going. Light is necessary to survive. So whenever any of us make the choice to restrict the light, such as by not turning on the light when it's dark out, where you live, moving around, you're restricting the light, and that's potentially dangerous. What do they do in neighborhoods when they want to reduce the level of crime? Well, one of the first things they do is they install or increase the number of lights. You've gone to a shopping mall or whatever, and you heard reports that there has been crime or crimes committed in the shopping mall, and you drive by that shopping mall again, let's say for whatever reason, you see that all of a sudden that once dark shopping mall parking lot is now filled with light. It's like if you go to a football stadium or basketball or whatever, go to the parking lot, it's filled with light. Lights are everywhere for a number of reasons, to help people find their cars, to help people walk safely, and then mainly because they understand that when you have large levels of light being turned on, it restricts and significantly reduces crime. Crime increases with the spread of physical darkness. I mean, it's so simple. Anybody can figure this out. Crime increases. Harm to men and women increases. when the darkness increases. Very simple. And so, in the world that we live in, you know, you hear the expression, it's important to be a good neighbor. I agree. I think you agree. It's important to be a good neighbor. That all comes from, by the way, God's commandment to love your neighbor as yourself, to be a good neighbor. But one of the ways you're a good neighbor is to make sure that you're communicating and you're shining the light upon your neighbor, upon the street that your neighbor lives in or on, that the light is shining, because the light reduces crime and harm and everything else. Light is essential for a society or community or a nation. In order for it to flourish, there has to be an adequate amount of light for physical reasons, and then for reduction of crime reasons. And these are really simple things to understand. So in our world, we live in our world, and our world is composed now, in the days of COVID, etc., our world is composed of living internally inside apartments, condos, homes, or whatever. And a lot of our world is virtual. The world of social media, the world of the internet, the world of the cell phone, TV set, stuff like that. That's an essential part of our reality. It may be a virtual reality, but it's a reality that we live in. Our ability to communicate right now is based on the fact that we can express ourselves in this virtual reality. Just like it's important to communicate in physical reality. The inside reality is important, and the outside reality is important. And so for a society, for people to be safe, for children to be safe, for love to happen instead of hatred, in order for love to be spread, the light has to be spread. You can't diminish the light and expect love to be spread. If you're going to diminish the light, you're going to increase the darkness. God pointed that out. In the very first day he created, when God said, let there be light, and there was light, he created a 24-hour cycle. Prior to that, it was all dark. And then he said, let there be light, and there was light. And he called it the day and the night, communicated to us how they were separate, the day and the night. And anybody, no matter how mentally challenged, I'm not trying to be satirical, can tell you the difference between day and night. You have the light and the darkness. And so in our environment, and all of us should be concerned about our environment. All of us should be people who want to protect the environment. I hope you understand what I'm saying, and I hope you understand the spiritual dynamic that's at work in protecting the environment. It's really simple. It's illustrated by God in the Bible, because he created the environment. And we're supposed to be stewards of the environment, caretakers of the environment. Well, what's one of the first things that you and I should do with this environment? We should spread the light in the environment or the world we live in. It should be filled with light. And that light is what makes the environment safe. Safety and the environment go hand in hand. I'm not saying you have to burn up forests and consume massive amounts of, not supposed to do bad things to the environment, like devour the rainforest, etc. Of course not. But there are many ways to affordably spread the light. For example, Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He can be spread through simply talking, assuming that you can talk. Can't talk, then that light is shut down. It's very, very important. One of the first things we did when we established Paradise Mountain Church, Paul McGuire Ministries, is we dedicated ourselves to the challenge, accepting the challenge of spreading the light among people, reaching people with the light. We wanted to reach the people that were the most distanced from the light, who were the most cynical about the light. Because sometimes there are people who pretend to be of the light, but they're really of the darkness. The Bible talks about that when it talks about spiritual deception. So to make our world safe, to make our environment safe, to make our culture safe, to make our world safe, you have to have the spreading and existence of the light. You can't have a world, an environment, a culture devoid or absent of light and expect to have harmony. Harmony and the light, harmony and love go hand in hand. And yet, we have the existence of darkness from the very beginning. We have the fact that God was presiding over the earth, and at that time, it was completely dark. It was completely dark. And God said, "Let there light." And what was the reason for the light? Well, there was many reasons for the light. Biologically, for the purpose of growing fruits, vegetables, for man's safety, as an act of grace or unmerited favor, so man and woman could see where they were going. Light has many, many functions, but you cannot allow the absence of light, because if the light is turned off, if the light is blocked from spreading, and that can occur many different ways, if the light is stopped from spreading, it's an automatic function that the darkness will spread. And every one of us has to make a choice. Are we going to be people that let our light shine? I know that sounds like simplistic, like a Girl Scout chant or a Boy Scout chant, let your light shine. But in that simplicity, there's a very powerful truth that if the light is blocked, the darkness will spread. And Jesus told his followers, his disciples, that we're supposed to let the light shine. He meant the light of truth, the light of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was talking about the fact that the world is a spiritually dark place, and unless you allow the light to shine, it will grow darker and darker. So, we can only continue here at Paul McGuire Ministries in Paradise Mountain Church. We can only continue to spread the light, to spread God's love, to spread the light of the truth. We can only continue to do that as long as we have the freedom to do that. If that is taken away, then the light is diminished. And that would be the case with any means of diminishing the light. So I'm asking you to remember what Paul McGuire Ministries is for. Remember what Paradise Mountain Church is for, and to make sure that you're using the mind of Christ when you hear our messages, whether on video or audio, that you're just not listening to these messages with your natural mind and natural understanding, but you're using the mind of Christ when you're processing each and every word of what I'm communicating to you about. It's very important that you pay careful attention. And you know, Jesus Christ talked about your spiritual ability to hear, your spiritual ability to see. There's so much truth beneath the surface when you tune in with the mind of Christ and listen with the power of the Spirit of Truth as these words go into your ears, or if you watch it on video. It's essential that you just don't skim the surface and miss the truth and the light of God's Word shining, and that you really pay attention, especially in increasing days and months, that you paid attention from the beginning. This way, you're not lost, because to be spiritually lost in the ultimate sense that Jesus Christ was talking about, to be spiritually lost, means to be eternally lost. And what is salvation, by the way? Salvation is when somebody responds to the light of God's truth, the light of the gospel, and receives that light of the gospel, that light of Jesus Christ, into their inner man or inner woman, and that they're saved and they live eternally. And what's interesting in this eternal world, oh, I'm going to get to that in a minute. I want to share with you a powerful truth about the light as it is depicted in the eternal world, because we're living in a temporary world, a world where we're just passing through. But the day is coming where every man or woman will be living in the eternal world. Now, they will choose the eternal world of their choice. They will choose what world they want. But I want to share with you an exciting and dynamic truth from the book of Revelation about light and God's light in an eternal world. But in order to continue these messages, I need to share with you this message that I believe communicates the essence of the light of Jesus Christ. You are listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. The way we can remain shining the light of Jesus Christ, communicating the love of God and the truth of God's Word, all of which represent the light of God and the light of God's kingdom, the way that can continue to happen, the only way it can continue to happen, is for you to choose to be a spiritual prayer warrior, an intercessory prayer warrior for me, this ministry, and my family, especially now in this time of incredible confrontation with spiritual darkness, and for you to spread the messages and our locations far and wide as fast as you can. And to know where they are, by the way, at paulmcguire.us. If you don't know where they are, you won't be able to find us. And that could happen at any moment. At any moment. So you need to know ahead of time by going to paulmcguire.us and looking at all the locations where we originate our message from. You need to know about it ahead of time, not after the fact. That won't do you much good, will it? And when the spiritual battle increases, the intensity of spiritual conflict increases, we need your financial support and donations and contributions like never before. Because we must be able to continue to spread the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we can't be blocked from doing that. But that can only happen when God's people seek the Lord and ask the Lord what to do and then obey the Lord. So I need you like I've never needed you before in terms of standing with us with your contributions and donations so that we can not only continue, but we can increase the number of people because the core reason for this ministry is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. I have no intention of retreating from all the world and not preaching the gospel. When Jesus Christ told me and he told you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. So I'm going to obey the Lord. Now, if giants rise up like they did in the land of Canaan, giants that should be perceived as grasshoppers, because although they temporarily look like giants because of their magnitude and power and size, like Goliath was a giant, they temporarily look like giants because in this world system, they are energized. But that's just for a brief period of time, because God's kingdom is coming, and God doesn't require any man or woman's permission to return. Now think about that for a moment. Does God need your permission or my permission to return to planet Earth? Of course not. Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's going to return when the Father decides it's time for him to return. And that is probably coming rather soon. And it's called in the Bible the second coming of Jesus Christ. And I have been assigned, and you have been assigned. It's not, you know, it's not like take it or leave it. It's not like you can choose to obey or disobey God, but look, let's face it, you're going to pay the consequences. I choose to obey God. God commanded me and this ministry to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to make disciples of all nations, to occupy the land. And that means what it meant spiritually for Joshua and Caleb. They went into the land of Canaan, and they obeyed God, and they perceived that their giants were really grasshoppers. And they perceived themselves spiritually as giants. And they obeyed God, and they took the land, and they occupied the land. That is the intention of Paul McGuire Ministries and Paradise Mountain Church. In order to do that, in order to occupy the land, in order to go into all the land and preach the gospel, because I have no intention of retreating. Do you understand me? There's no retreat or surrender in this business, the business of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ for free. That's done out of love and the light of Jesus Christ. But my job is to shine the light, truth of Jesus Christ. So, if there are giants or people who are opposing the call of God in our life, then we'll go to another platform which is secure. But in order to go to the level of platforms we need, we have to acquire the technology. We have to purchase numerous technological computer and various systems which will allow us to spread our message unblocked, far and wide. And we need you to help us to do that. Because we're going to do it, and we believe that God is going to provide for that, because we believe that we are giants and they are grasshoppers. Now, some of you have joined us in faith, and you too believe that you're a giant and they are grasshoppers. Now we have to act accordingly. And that means, to be blunt, we put our money where our mouth is. I've put my life into this. I'm not bailing. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to continue to shine the light of Jesus Christ, spread the love of God, speak the truth in love. Because I am a child of the living God. You're a child of the living God. But I need your help now. And I need you to discern the signs of the times. I need you to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. And I need you, above all, to interpret our words with the mind of Christ. And those that have ears to hear, that you are clearly hearing. What you thought you heard, you heard. It wasn't your imagination. You know exactly what I'm saying. How do you know? Because you have a relationship with me, as I have a relationship with Christ. You have a relationship with me over various media. And you know the way I think and I talk and where my belief system comes, which is the Bible. You know what I'm communicating. Others may be perplexed. But they don't have to be perplexed. The only reason they're perplexed is because they haven't yet exercised the use of their spiritual ears and spiritual eyes so that they can discern the signs of the times. The times are different now than they were, in past days. Things have changed. And the name of the game is that when things change, you react accordingly. And you all understand, of course, what happens to people who are not proactive, who don't react, who can't discern the signs of the time. So I'm asking you to go before the Lord as I share my burden with you. I'm asking you to go before the Lord, ask Him what you can do in terms of prayer, helping us spread the message far and wide, and in terms of our financial needs, and ask the Lord how much you should contribute or give, and be bold, because God's bold, and ask Him, and He'll tell you, in light of the circumstances, no pun intended, this is what I want you to do. God speaks to our hearts. God speaks to my heart. God spoke to my heart about this ministry as people were freaking out left and right. I was crying out to the Lord, waiting on the Lord. And the Lord said, Paul, I don't want you to retreat. I want you to expand. I want you to reach more people. And then I offered up, some, dare I say it, complaints to the Lord. That's not very spiritual, is it? Saying, but Lord, this has happened and that's happened. And there are powerful forces at work here, God, and they're blocking the pathways on the roads. And so then I was convicted. I was convicted by the Holy Spirit that I had subtly, I didn't enter into it, but I entertained it. I was toying with it. That's still sin, by the way. I was toying with, aspects of retreating. But then I realized that's sin. I can't do that. God's given me a call. And God will make a way where there is no way. So right now, as I'm speaking to you, I'm telling you, there is a way where others think that there is no way. And that there is a way technologically. There is a way as regards to the internet. There is a way. People say, oh, there's no other way, or there's only this way or that way. No. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking now? I can. He's shouting with a trumpet blast. The trumpet blast is intended for His saints, his believers to arise in the power and the glory of the Holy Spirit, and God will bring about a revival. That revival is not contingent upon who sits in any particular office, because we're serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that King of Kings and Lord of Lords has promised to give us supernatural wisdom and supernatural power and supernatural provision and supernatural blessing if we will heed his call and step out on faith. Now, I need you to go to paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. We have pictures of all the platforms that we are on and are expanding to. You need to know about those platforms now. You don't know what's happening tomorrow. That's what God said in the Bible. No one even knows if we'll be here tomorrow. Our times are in the hands of God. But you need to know the platforms. I'm not playing games when I'm speaking to you now. You need to understand this. For those that have ears, you can hear. You need to know where those platforms are. And the way you learn where they are is you have to go to paulmcguire.us. You scroll down that first page and you'll see a list of all the new platforms. Some of the platforms no longer exist or may not exist tomorrow morning. Maybe they will. Who knows? But I can't bet God's holy call upon my life to preach the gospel. I can't place it on the whims of any entity, no matter how powerful. I will not place the sanctified call of God upon my life. I was supernaturally called by God to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ over 40 years ago. I was miraculously saved, hitchhiking, fleeing from a Christian religious retreat on the back roads of Missouri in a field of dreams environment. I had two mysterious rides fleeing from a Christian religious retreat out in the cornfields in the middle of nowhere. One was from a Pentecostal preacher and his wife. They took me as far as they were going, and the other was from a Bible salesman who, as you know, led me to pray a prayer of salvation. And I was called by God to preach the gospel from a place of rebellion and atheism. And I have been preaching the gospel to millions of people, and there's not one iota of exaggeration in my deliberate choice of the word millions of people, because it is a fact before Almighty God that indeed my testimony and how I got saved by faith in Jesus Christ has literally and factually been heard by millions of people by the grace of God. By the grace of God. And that grace of God is still upon my life. And that he that comes against me is coming against the gospel of Jesus Christ, whether they know it or not. And I am not going to surrender a holy call of God to continue to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to any entity. And for those that can hear, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So I need you to go to paulmcguire.us and look right down, know the links, know the different places. It's going to take a little bit of work because we've expanded. And if certain platforms disappear, God will open new platforms. But I'm thinking beyond that, my dear friend in Jesus Christ. I believe in thinking supernaturally and acting supernaturally. So we're going to acquire a variety of platforms and technologies that are immune from being destroyed. Our message cannot be destroyed by the whims of a entity or a giant. David had to deal with the giant. Now, I believe in peaceful, loving, law-abiding preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But that doesn't mean I'm going to allow a giant to stand in the way of God's call upon our life. So I need to raise, and I've never talked to you about this before, I need to raise large amounts of money right now, not for myself, because we're in the process of acquiring technology, platforms, and something that I can't talk about publicly, but it will create an electronic environment where this ministry and other ministries will be able to freely communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ without fear. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. You know what I'm saying, don't you? I'm speaking to you from my heart. You can hear the Holy Spirit resonate in the tone of my voice. Those of you that are perceptive, and those of you that listen to the Paul McGuire Report on a regular basis, you can hear in my voice, because you know me, you understand what the Holy Spirit is communicating and what the Holy Spirit has put upon my heart. I am going to obey him. Now, what I want to share with you is that you understand, because you've practiced, you've exercised your gifts, so you have ears that can indeed hear. You have eyes that can indeed see. But many of our brothers and sisters, they are unfortunately blind and cannot hear. And I'm not here to pick on them, but we need to grow them up quickly, because the Lord is moving his body, the body of Christ, into different parameters, different means of communication, different means of organization, different technologies, because God is not finished with his people here or across the world. God's not finished yet. God is not finished yet. He's got a greater work to do, and you're part of that greater work, and I'm part of that greater work. But having said that, we can never surrender to the voices of delusion. The voices of delusion are the voices of spiritual darkness. Truth is not delusion. Truth is the light. And I'm committed, as you know, to speaking the truth in love. I'm not going to speak to you in delusion. I'm speaking the truth in love, and I'm calling you now. Well, let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Jesus, that you have saved our souls, Father, by faith. We thank you, God, that no man, no system, no woman can take away our salvation. We thank you that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We thank you, Lord, that nothing is impossible with God. And we thank you, Lord, that you've given us the opportunity to take up wings as eagles, to run and not be weary, that you have given us your supernatural power, your supernatural wisdom, and your supernatural provision. For all of those people who are listening, who may be tempted to yield to fear, I want to remind you that God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And if you would receive his extra measure of supernatural anointing right now, the Holy Spirit will fill you with the power of God, and that fear, that spirit of fear, will be broken. And the mental thoughts that come from a spirit of fear externally waging war against you, that spirit of fear will be banished into the lake of fire now in the name of Jesus, because it has no authority over you due to the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses all of us of all sin. And it cleanses our families, our children, and our lives. So I call upon you to really hear with the spiritual ears of Jesus Christ and to see with the spiritual vision of Jesus Christ. And I ask you to get right before God, because he's got a lot in store for you. And what he has in store for you is good. But that goodness, that promised land that you want, is not going to come without a spiritual battle. That's where you enter into delusion, when you think, when people tell you that Jesus is Santa Claus, and all you got to do is leave out the milk and cookies for him, and he's going to come down the chimney. I'm not here to lie to you. I'm going to tell you the truth, that you're going to take the forces of darkness by faith in the power of God and the Word of God. You will be a supernatural overcomer, but you will do it according to the principles written about in God's Word. Now, back to the light. So visit paulmcguire.us. Make sure you do that today. Look at what happens in the book of Revelation. Look at what happens. There is now the creation by God of the new heaven, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem. And when I read you Revelation chapter 21, verse 22, but I saw no temple in it, the new Jerusalem, but the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illustrated it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk to its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. So you see that when God creates the new Jerusalem, the new heaven, and the new earth, there's no more need for a physical sun. The light, everything that has light, all that light is emanating not from a physical sun, but it's God himself who is the source of all the light in the new Jerusalem, the new heaven, and the new earth. Wow! We're going to live into an eternal world with Jesus Christ, with brand new glorified bodies. We're going to live forever. There will be no need of a physical sun, because the light of the glory of God himself will function as something so far beyond the sun. It'll be a glorious light, and there'll be no darkness at all. And then it repeats in Revelation 22, verse 6. Then he said to me, verse 5, there shall be no night there, or there shall be no darkness there. They need no lamp, nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. So God is going to supernaturally create a new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem. There won't be need for a physical sun, because the Lord himself will be the light. And then Jesus says in verse 6, then he said to me, these words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Behold, I am coming quickly, Jesus said. Blessed is he who keeps the words and prophecy of this book. Now, that's important. Blessed is he or she who keeps the words of prophecy in this book. That not only means I'm to keep the prophecy of the entire book of Revelation, which means we're supposed to preach it in season or out of season, or whether somebody likes it or not, we're supposed to preach it. But it also means, by keeping the prophecy of this book, one of the primary prophecies of the book of Revelation is the need for you and I to win souls, to bring people, to get them saved. And that's what Paul McGuire Ministries and Paradise Mountain Church is all about. It's to get people saved, to bring them into the kingdom of heaven. So let me read this to you again. And let him or Hur has words here. Jesus says, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he or she who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." Part of keeping the words of the prophecy of the book of Revelation is to be aggressively a soul winner, to make disciples of all nations, and to occupy until he comes. So you can be assured that God's supernatural blessings, God's supernatural covering, God's supernatural provision, God's supernatural salvation and intervention will be upon your life, but you must, in order to release that supernatural blessing, you must keep all the words of the prophecy of the book of Revelation, which means to save souls and to reach people for Jesus Christ. That's thrilling. I have more to share with you. But once again, before we close today's program, it is mandatory that you go to paulmaguire.us and you read and see the color graphics of all the new platforms we have. You need to know where they are and spread them far and wide, because just like there's a 24-hour cycle with the light and the darkness, the moon and the sun, there are also cycles in the behaviors of mankind and cycles in entities and technologies. There is no way that any intelligent person would allow themselves to be seduced into thinking that somebody who has no interest in the gospel of Jesus Christ, or who in fact may oppose it, why would they allow continued access to communication platforms? Well, they wouldn't. And you know that, and I know that. And I'm doing my job as a faithful watchman right now. And I'm telling you, sure as day, that I see them coming from a distance, and I am neither slumbering nor sleeping, and those that are coming from the distance have ill intent in their hearts. And so God has given me a platform. You are supporting this platform with your finances, with your prayers, with your spreading of the message far and wide. And I am blowing the shofar, the trumpet. Through my words, I have blown the trumpet, shofar. You've heard it. I have been faithful. I have warned as a faithful watchman. I have not been unfaithful. I've been a faithful watchman. And I do so out of obedience to God, but I do so out of my love for you and your families. You're hearing the trumpet blast in advance, so that you can be proactive. I think you're far spiritually mature enough to know. In fact, I do know that you know what it means to be spiritually proactive. What that means in terms of tangible actions you need to take. Rouse yourselves before the enemy comes. And we need to be well on the way of implementation, instruction, development, and using what I discussed in this program. And that takes money and that takes prayers. But I don't like normally being this direct. But I need to tell you this. I need to tell you this because there's more. There's a lot more. But I can only say what I can say for those that have ears to hear. God bless you. This is Paul Maguire. Visit paulmaguire.us. Pray for us like you've never prayed for us before.